Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Buck Benton. We are debriefing the Deepen Conference and his message on having a hunger for purpose. Let's get equipped. Buck, we are about 6 minutes removed from you wrapping up your message on having a hunger for purpose. And I think it landed really well. I think there's some messages that are like very responsive and people, you know, are more like, amen, and all that kind of stuff. There are those messages. And then there are some that the message lands on you with some seriousness and some like, all right, I got stuff to do. Yeah. I got responsibility. And I think that was kind of what it was landing on me sort of in that way, and thinking about, like, are we built for the long haul of this journey kind of thing? If we're going to follow the Great Commandment, we're going to live the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And I thought the way you presented that, just from a communication standpoint, the structure of your message is just really, really good. And I really enjoyed it myself. But you know, you're fresh off the stage and leading the room. So what did you feel, just starting kind of there? What did you feel in the room and leading it?
Yeah. First of all, always an honor to come, always an honor to be in Statesboro. So for all the listeners, man, love your church, love your pastors, love Jordan and all you guys are doing. Yeah. So to be quite honest, the past 2 weeks has been a lot of pouring out. We've had a lot of ministry to do, and so I've been in a lot of different environments. We did a revival at a church last week and saw God do some wonderful things. And then this past week, we had our monthly gathering, which is a worship service. God did these wonderful things. And so for me, man, I just felt like today, just trying to stay in the flow of what God's doing. I think he's moving in a mm-hmm. big way. And so I saw it as a really wonderful opportunity to speak to Gen Z, this college group. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret nationwide that there's an awakening, that group's just kind of coming alive and a little mm-hmm. bit fearless. So I think for me, just I wanted to talk about something simple, but yet that would be most helpful for them. And so I think for me, like, I pray it landed, but you know, really loving God, understanding the gospel, and making loving him our highest order, everything else comes from there. So really that's what I pray I communicated, is that that really the number one priority is to love God. And as we're fueled and sourced by his love and enjoying him and understanding how much he loves us and desires to use us to fulfill the Great Commission, that's really what longevity looks like in being faithful to walking this thing out.
You said I'm trying to stay in the flow. It made me think about this because I've sensed that too, like in the life of our church, where, and I think when me and John and Brandon get together, and then when we get together with our elders, and when I get together with Russ and the equipping team, all those spaces, there feels like this strange Holy Spirit mm-hmm. momentum. And you talked about trying to stay in the flow. I feel that of like, I want to do, you know, and I'd love to hear, I know you got some good thoughts on this. I can't wait to hear about this. I've been waiting to have somebody to talk to about this, of not getting fixated on whether you will or will not lose momentum. You can't get fixated on the anointing. Mm-hmm. You have to stay fixated on Christ. But there is something about like, God, I don't want to do anything. You know, it's like a sport, like playing sports, right? You get fixated on not losing.
Yeah,
that makes it really hard to win.
Yes. Yeah, it's cool, man. I love how you're describing this, because I'm feeling this. So I'm a rhythms guy. I love my disciplines. I think that's healthy for the believer. But here recently, I just feel like there's this courage and this boldness to just like hear from God and obey. Mm-hmm. Like just obey day by day. And there are times where he's just pouring out his spirit. You know, he always promised he would. And I think there are seasons where he's just pouring out. And I think he's doing that. And so you feel the momentum of it. And I think sometimes, like, we just got to get in the river And like, he's moving, and so we got to move with him. And I've really been sensing that. And so I think the tension for me is, you know, knowing when he's moving to just keep moving. And then when it's time to withdraw and go get refueled, like go get refueled. But sometimes you just kind of got to scrap the plan and like go with him. And so, so I'm feeling that.
It kind of feels like you're saying too, though, that like you can put your hands on spiritual momentum. You can put your hands on the anointing, and you can turn the valve off by refusing to refuel. Because a part of the continuation could be the rest and refueling.
Yes, yeah. And it is, like, it's so, and this could be a longer conversation, but I think God is just bringing the church into a heightened awareness of that. Really what I've heard Brandon say this years ago, and what we've always said of Christianity is summed up as listening to God and doing what he says. And so I think we have to listen to his spirit. We listen to our bodies and we trust them, you know? And I think in the seasons where we've trusted him with rest, even when we don't want to, is really helping prepare us for these times where he's like, I need you to go.
I know. I feel that. So I have biblical text for my concern.
Sure.
First Thessalonians 5. Do not quench the spirit. And I'm thinking about that in my decision making, in my like responses.
Yeah.
Like when I find myself, you know, and it can't be a fixation on spiritual performance or how things are gonna go or wanting to continue to hear the man, things are going good, you know, or man, that was so awesome. Yeah, you can't live for that stuff. But it's a strange sort of balance of like, I want God to move because I care that people experience God, and I think he's worthy of it.
Yes.
I want him to be well represented in the world, and I want to do whatever I can to not quench the spirit. But I'd love to hear one. Explain in South Georgia, you know, language. What is quenching the spirit, and how does that happen?
Yeah. So something, there's this narrative throughout the Bible of, it just seems like the people just have a hard time keeping, we historically, this is biblical, we have a hard time keeping our hands off the glory. And so somehow we want to manipulate it or make it better, or we want to add our flavor, or we want some part to play in it. And so there's this this image, like when I've been in prayer, this image that kind of helps me just sort of stay in my lane and take my place. And I just want to say this real quick. I think the churches that are just making room for God are the churches he's really going to use in this season. Just make room. But God gives me this image of, you know, one of the images of heaven, he describes it as a great assembly, right? And when I think about an assembly, you know, it's there's seats fanned out all around. And kind of the imagery of the throne of God, it seems like Jesus is in the center, and there's a great assembly around them. And in that assembly, there's a seat assigned for all of us, right? And so none of us are in the center. God is. And so a question I've been asking, and as God has brought, and I'll just say this, for he's brought some really gifted people to our churches. And in Dublin, man, I'll be honest, I lead a team that, like, I just think they're great.
Yeah.
He's brought a lot of very gifted people to the table. And I think one of the keys for us has been, Lord, like, we don't want to touch it or get in the center. Help us all to find our assigned seat.
Right.
And I think when all the leaders are on board with that, it really makes for something beautiful.
Would you say that's what you mean by give God room? It's not like, let me give him that one empty seat in the auditorium. It's, we want to put him in the middle.
Yes.
And give him the appropriate space in the room.
Yes.
Give him the room.
Yes, yes. Well, yes. And may people, when they come to our gatherings, our services, our groups, may it be keenly aware we all came to meet with God today.
That's right.
And I think there's just a shift in church culture that leaders are beginning to feel that.
And can I say for our listener, if a lost person is coming to your worship gathering, that's what they showed up looking for. Is God here?
Yes. So quick example. So Wednesday, we had our monthly gathering. So this is kind of a rhythm we've adopted. At the end of the month, we get basically all the church together. And this is what the event encompasses. A prayer at the start, worship, communion, explanation of what communion is, mm-hmm. a taking of communion, and then worship and prayer. We had two salvations at the one this week.
Wow.
Yeah, so during the communion time, just after worship, just ask, like, hey, is there anyone here that, you know, right now, as we know the Lord's with us, you don't have a relationship with God, but you'd like one, and two people got saved in the room, you know? And so just really credible of, like, when we give God room
right,
and make the service all about we came to seek the Lord, like something powerful happens.
That, and I think that's part, you know, getting us kind of back full circle, and I probably missed something. I love all these conversations that we're having. But when we say there seems to be a strange momentum, strange Holy Spirit momentum, that is a great example because I've been doing ministry a long time. I've never seen salvation at a communion.
Mm-hmm.
The first night of college night, I just was planning to cast vision for the semester.
Yeah, sure.
God put it on my heart at our gathering. We had the gathering as well in our church, and the Holy Spirit was like, preach the gospel and give an invitation.
Love it.
So I went to 2 Corinthians 5:21,
yep.
and two of the girls that were at conference today were two girls that got saved night.
Yes.
And I just asked them kind of plainly. Yeah. I was like, why?
Yep.
Why, like, later, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Like, tell me about
like
this.
what, you know, and she just said, the way you explained it made sense for the first time.
Yep.
I can't explain that.
That's right.
There's a lot of things happening in the life of our church that I just can't explain. That girl went and invited another girl to her Connect group.
Yep.
And that girl got saved.
Yep.
And so she, using Joby Martin language, got rescued, joined the rescue team, and probably didn't know the Bible a lick.
Well, and just to encourage you of like, I mean, that's John 10. My sheep know my voice and they follow me.
Yeah.
So like God gave you a direction, like you heard his voice. And that's always faith, right? Like
right.
we never are 100% or else it wouldn't be faith anymore.
Right.
But man, I really sensed the Lord leading me in a direction.
Right.
I took the direction and like God did something only he could do.
I want to, don't let me forget about that of, my sheep hear my voice and they do what I say. There's something about the purity of that with those new believers that, all right, that's the shepherd. All right, I'm his sheep. All right, I'm listening to his voice. Like there's something pure about that I think should pour life into the church. And I think that's all God poured his spirit out on in those early days for us when you led us through the book of Romans. Back in the trailer hood, and
I wouldn't call it leading, but anyway, go ahead.
But you lived with the desperation of like, all right, my church is asking me to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Holy Spirit, I need you to do what I can't do.
Yes,
and look at the fruit of that.
Amen.
And so, versus like super slick strategy, and now, you know, anyway, I think there's something to be said for that of just the purity and the innocence of that.
So I just want to comment real quick. On our offsites at staff, we've started using this language, and I don't know if I like the word balance, but Lord, show us, because we know we need structure and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So to give us the delicate balance of like we need strategy, absolutely need systems, and God's a systematic God, but Lord, give us, it's like the trellis and the vine.
Yeah.
Like, I think our structure...
need just enough trellis to grow the sufficient vine.
That's right. So that's the question we've been asking ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even remember what I was wanting to talk about with the sheep hearing my voice thing. But anyway, yeah. So, I mean, you talked about that a little bit in your message, John 14 as well, and just the call to live the great commandment, live the great commission. I thought that was just super, just a really good call to those folks of what do they need to be dedicating their life to, just clarity of calling, clarity of purpose. Now, we can fill in the rest of the, God needs to still fill in the assignment. How do I pursue that within the assignment of the kingdom? But I just thought that was really good, man.
Yeah. 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 The, talking about great commandment and great commission. So I think a lot of what I got birthed in was like Great Commission, which is always, God's always going to breathe on and bless. It's his heart. But I think the more I've grown and studied, like in a book that just messed me up, Dallas Willard's book, The Great Omission, just messed me up. And basically the point he's making is, if we're not making disciples by modeling and teaching them how to sit at Jesus's feet personally, we're not making the disciples Jesus desires. Mm. And so that's where we can't get so programmatic that we haven't brought them to the person, right? And so that just really shifted of like, man, if I'm not making it clear on that commandment that, like, love God with all you got, be in his presence and let him love on you, we don't have the source we need to go fulfill the commission.
I'd be curious, because I've been thinking about this a lot too, like, you know, sort of in the way Connection Churches work, we've got, you know, a couple of our churches, you know, when you start getting to that two services portion, the structures and systems seem to, I sometimes wonder, does that begin to stifle? Is that part of the quenching? Have y'all wrestled with that at all?
Absolutely. Well, I think about it all the time. Of the larger we grow, I am just not, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm just not a believer in a big gathering of people for the sake of gathering a big group of people, you know? And so for me, the more things grow, the more pressure I feel is we got to make mature disciples, and our disciples have to become mature, and we have to develop leaders that can truly continue to make disciples, because that's really as far as we can go.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for me, you're right, like the more things grow, the dynamic changes, but I think the leaders just have to pivot with it, you know, like if God sends growth, we're not going to send them away. But it just, to me, puts pressure on those leaders, elders, connect group leaders. Like, they just got to get solid and grow and become mature. It's kind of where my mind goes.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Because, I mean, you can feel it. And I've felt it, especially these last couple weeks. Holy Spirit just seems to begin doing stuff. And I'm staring at the countdown, and I'm like, oh, man, Olivia's going to kill me and kids. Or,
oh, yeah.
You know, can start. But right now, the big part is that I don't sense a restlessness in the room where people aren't getting fidgety and like eager to leave. They're eager to continue to linger in the presence.
Sure. And
even in songs where it's like, hey, they're supposed to be throwing it to me. And I'm like, how about we sing another song? Or, but like, I'd say those are just thoughts and feelings that I'm having. We haven't made those choices or pivots yet. It's just something, because all I'm thinking, this is not a complaint or a blame session. This is just me trying to really think through 1 Thessalonians 5:19 of how do we quench the spirit? I worry about that in our gathering of quenching spirit. But what does that look like? If you were to encourage college students today, they have a little bit of excitement coming out of conference. What would be like the first few things that come to mind of how could they leave here and begin to quench the spirit?
Yeah, God, so good. Yeah, I really want to answer both those questions. But to begin with, I think you build the systems around room for the spirit. So for us, just in some of the services where like we're making amends, if we all really sense something happening, we'll pivot. And and again, like at our 9 o'clock, we got to be done no matter what at a certain time. And we all have a keen awareness of that. But we have, like, you know, one of the things is I'll get up and say, like, hey, we really sense the Lord moving in this moment. But right now, if you're a parent, you know, make sure you go get your kids. And we're just going to linger here as we transition. It'll be a little different today. So
little parents bring kids back in?
No, they'll go get them. And so a lot of times it's young people or, you know, whoever is at the altar, we still feel like God's dealing with people. We'll just sort of pivot and be okay with that, even if it's not nice and neat.
Yeah.
And so little things like that.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so college students, how to quench the spirit. I think you quench the spirit by not getting up in the morning and getting in the Word.
Wow.
So I think that, and I think not getting involved in community, doing the things you led them to do of like, don't go out there Ramboing it. Like, just get involved with some people who are trying to live life like you.
College student, if you don't know what that means, Rambo is a solo warrior off in the woods, like, absolutely slaughtering people. Yes. Vietnam vet. Just
don't be that guy.
Yeah. Don't have Holy Spirit PTSD and get out there and start just going solo. Get in the community.
You are not as awesome as you think you are. Yeah. You need people.
Also, you're not Rambo.
You're also not Rambo. You don't look like Sylvester
Stallone. The cop that he pegged to the tree is what you are.
Yes. Yes. True.
Yeah. The enemy is Rambo.
Yes. There we go. I like
but anyway, full circle. Please don't go watch Rambo and then tell your parents your college pastor told you to watch Rambo. But if you want to come over and watch Rambo, we can. What else? What are some other ways that you would say college students?
Quenching the spirit.
So they're out there leaving the conference. One that comes to mind. I don't have to just throw this at you. I'm thinking about it as well. I would say not crucifying that besetting sin that the Spirit highlighted at the conference.
Sure. I love that you said, don't let this be cessational. And I don't see it as much. I think it's very easy to love this worship culture and not to love the God who's leading the worship culture. And so, you know, really what you just said of, do I crucify sin when I leave?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big deal, man. Or whatever I lay at the altar, do I leave it there, repent, and walk that thing out?
Or do I pick it back up and take it with me?
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think there's something to that. I think that's one of the ways, too, of really you just become a hype man for God. And, like, that's not it.
Do you remember, me and you went to Passion, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We went together, and I remember one of the things that turned me off to conference altogether was I watched a dude down on the, like, floor, and during worship, he was literally, like,
just
dancing, spinning.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was wild.
Yeah.
Slept the entire message.
Yeah.
And then worship come back on, my boy's dancing, and I wound up in a breakout with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, I think I've seen you before, and he was like, oh, yeah, I was at Passion, and yada, yada. I was like, yeah, you dance the whole worship, then you'd sleep the whole time. And he, like, cringed, but kind of laughed. I was like, it was a long weekend. And the please don't make conference performative.
Yes.
It's not performance art before the Lord.
Yes.
Did you actually bring sin to the altar and let Jesus put it to death and let Jesus pay the penalty that was due the sin? Or did you sort of bring it, but you never turned it loose at the altar?
Sure.
And you had an emotional moment, and then you picked it up and walked away with it.
Well, that's something we've been talking about a lot. So we're non-denominational churches, and so, you know, we see a lot of people that come from, I'll just say, conservative faith backgrounds and conservative worship experiences, and then charismatic. So where really you're pleasing toward God is how sacrificial is your worship. And, you know, there's this beauty of what I believe the Lord is doing is trying to marry his church, because he's only coming back for one.
Mm.
And so there's beauty in a purity and sacrificial worship toward the Lord. I think there's some beauty of what the charismatic church brings. But you're right. I've seen it too many times. What you just said is, somehow the discipleship was so toward that there is no practical application of daily taking up your cross and following Jesus, or any sort of theology of suffering, or, like, doing anything in obedience to the Lord.
Right.
Right.
And or the gritty stuff that it takes to make disciples.
100. Like, I think for us, me and AJ talk about this, of a missional church brings a lot of natural unity. Like a church that's just about, you know what, we're going to love God. We ain't afraid of a whole lot. We're going to go tell people about Jesus and make disciples.
Yeah.
I don't really care how you grew up. If you're not doing that, you ain't on this train.
Yeah.
And that's really simple.
Yeah. I talked about that in Haggai. We were looking at 1:12 through 15. And what's powerful is you've got the high priest and you've got the governor, the descendant of the king.
Yeah.
And the command is the same for them and the remnant. Go get the wood.
Yep.
And there's something about the flattening of the mission of I don't think too highly of myself. I don't think too lowly of myself.
That's right.
Insecure person that feels like they're nothing before the Lord. God doesn't have second-class children.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the mat. Go get the wood.
That's right.
Person that feels like they're too lofty and exalted in their station.
That's
as
right.
far as I'm a CEO, go get the wood.
That's right.
Go get it.
Yes.
And in that context, it's talking about building the temple, but today it's make disciples.
It's make disciples. That's right. No, and we use the language like that's just the family business.
Yeah.
Like that's what we all do. No matter what seat you sit in, it's the family business. I love that.
And I would say this, I mean, that's it, right? Like if you are the firstborn son in the family business, like you can get all fired up and excited about the family retreat to Cabo, but you still got to come back and work the business.
That's right.
And the
That's
family
right.
business is making disciples.
Yes.
And
yes.
don't just twiddle your thumbs until eternity. Like, take some people with you.
Amen. Yeah, it's good.
What else? What else do we need to think about with some of the message that you preached? Some of what I like to do in this is, what was on your heart that you didn't have time to say? Or what additional would you have said, you know, with no time restriction? Or like what else? Was there anything left on the cutting room floor?
Yeah, I would have, if I'd, like I said, always more time, you'd have talked about more. But I think how the Great Commandment flows into the Great Commission and the, like if it was in my flesh, my natural, I could have talked about the Great Commission the whole time.
Yeah.
Like I'm a very missional go-getter type person. But in my own life, the last 3 years, God has brought me into the presence to love just being with Him.
Yeah.
And like for me in my own life, I've seen how that has, I feel like God brought God more glory and it's been more satisfying for my soul. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like I want to give that away. Mm-hmm. And so if I had more time, I would have loved to talk about, hey, as you're doing this, this is what it gives you fuel and fire for. And talking about like, go like a wild man, go make disciples, go tell people about Jesus. So I think I would have fleshed out the Great Commission more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Brandon's message was also really, really good about, I leaned over to Q. I was like, we just need to transcribe this message and add this Holy Spirit language and the concrete nature of it into our heart and soul material.
Love it.
And be...
I bet he smashed that.
Yeah. Who better than to talk about having a real encounter with God?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the ethos of who we are as a church, mm-hmm. is trying to invite people to that, to have a transformative, real encounter with God. And... And he was, I mean, he's fresh off of elk hunt, so he's just like,
he's full of God right now.
He's been in the presence. His hands have been bathed in blood, and he's got the full anointing this week. And
I love it.
But it just was really good. And one of the things that I told students coming out of Brandon's message is, statistically, this is just research, that Gen Z is coming to God, just God, in droves, not just Jesus, but they're searching, they're hungry for God. Sometimes they're not finding Jesus in that path. And some are finding Jesus and they're bypassing the bride.
Mm-hmm.
They're going past the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is, I mean, I get it, because one, like you said, sometimes church people suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean disciples. I don't mean people that deeply love Jesus and follow Him. I'm just talking about churchies.
Yeah.
Just churchy people that are void of the power of the Spirit.
Yep.
You know, if you we're going to create a Christian dictionary of language, a churchy is somebody that attends church that is empty of the power of the Spirit.
Sure.
And what I told them is, that's not what the bride is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
The bride is meant to be a collection of people that are full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to get that at all costs.
Yes.
And but not to, that was one of the disciplines that I want them to see, and that life is better connected through covenant within the people of God.
Yes. So and I kind of want to just reiterate that, and I know you spent a lot more time and probably studied a lot more of the statistics than I have with college students, but you kind of do sometimes notice that trend where they're looking for something real, Mm-hmm. Like, they experience something real, and then a lot of times they're let down mm-hmm. when they come to the local church mm-hmm. of where's the real, like, mm-hmm. where's that thing? And, you know, and I think that is why it's important that we structure our churches that they attract God, and mm-hmm. because that's who they're looking for.
Right.
But also, too, I think that it kind of goes back to that structure and spirit thing, and I may be way off with this, but a lot of times more... I don't want to use the word charismatic, but more expressive worship, a lot of times it's so individualized into my personal worship, my personal obedience, that it's almost like there's a group of people that are just rogue trying to live it out. It's like herd cats. Mm. And so they may really walk with God, but it's so limited in the context of what God wants to do with those worshipers. But then the biblical structures of covenant, of leadership, healthy leadership, authority in the church. I talked a lot about authority today, and that was on purpose. Mm-hmm. To submitting to the authority of God means submitting to the design of God, which is right. the local church.
Right.
And so it's like if the worship, pure worship heart gets into the biblical structure, you got dynamite, because yeah. that is the plan of God, is right. the local church.
Right.
And
I mean, if nothing else, just understand, if you're hungry for God, God has made a choice, and his choice is
yes.
the local church is the hope of the world.
Come on.
And so if you are going to bypass God, you're making a choice that God didn't make.
That's
so
right.
So God's not going yes. with you in that direction.
Yes.
And so if that's all you needed to hear, just find a church that is
That's
in
right.
step with the power of the Holy Spirit. And
yes, yes. And truth and spirit, John, he says this in John 4, the worshipers I desire are worshipers that are full of the Spirit mm-hmm. and truth. And the truth is, we need the local church to equip us for community, for healthy accountability, and prayerfully. And you are, you know, you've done equipping here so well and have done that. Like, we need to be equipped, and mm-hmm. we need to live sent, not just by the Holy Spirit, but by that bride
right.
to go do the yeah. work of the ministry. And so,
it's the embassy for us as ambassadors. It's the embassy house that we enter in, come in and out of. Yes, we represent God, and we represent Christ in the community. We need to live missionally out there, but when we return to the embassy, handle family business together,
yep.
then we go back and represent him again.
That's it. That's
and
right.
so it's a poor reflection on God if we hate the bride that he purchased
yeah.
and we never pay yeah. any attention to it. We want all the attention of the groom, but we don't want any of the participation in the
yes.
bride.
Yeah.
So that can be that. I would say, again, that's another thing that can quench. And I think with college students, there seems to be a strange sort of dispensation of time where there's some grace on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
know, there's no a doubt. Period of time where it's like,
no doubt. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, 100%.
But my thing is, my observation now, stepping out of equipping into college and more of our sending stuff, what I would say is that college students just get older.
Mm.
It's the same maturity.
Mm.
It's the same not knowing what I don't know, but your wiggle room for having what would be the word, an excuse, runs out the older you get.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yep.
So they're 1 year old. This is Pete Scazzaro language, right?
Yeah.
They're 1 year times. Old, 5 times, 20 times, 30 times, and they're just repeating being 1 year old spiritually.
Yeah.
And how sad is that? That was what was breaking my heart as we were singing Agnus Dei there at the end. He is holy. He is worthy of it all. Mm-hmm. Night and day, let incense arise. And I just think about, like, one of the saddest things would be for some of these college girls and guys to get older, get their degree, get a job, and most of the time they spend thinking about how meaningful was this conference, and I wish I could go back to that.
Mm.
That sounds really sad to me,
mm.
that they wouldn't see that they have the opportunity to now live a deepened life, mm-hmm. that they could be the type of spiritual giant that other people could stand on their shoulders,
mm.
That they could leave from here, and this could be the least impactful thing they've ever experienced,
mm.
because they saw signs and wonders and miraculous things and disciple making and a move of God through salvation of other people and a local church established and unreached peoples reached. And the conference could have been like the beginning place, but it was not the most powerful place.
Yeah.
And I hurt for college students. And, you know, and I don't know how many, I doubt many of our college students are going to listen to this podcast. But I hurt for some of the pastoral reality that not all of them are going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, man. And two, I think one thing I've rested on, not too comfortably, but rest on, Lord, was the seed planted firmly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I may never see it.
God, let it be good soil.
That's right. That's right. And man, like, and I think some of the secret sauce of connection, Statesboro really has been through the years, the college ministry of so many. You know, really good seeds were planted and the fruits all over the place, not just here in Statesboro.
Right. And I mean, and that's what makes me zealous to be part of it and unashamed to be a part of it. But I do think about, it's just my nature, right? Like if I were playing a sport and I had 8 good plays and 1 bad, I'm going to fixate on the 1 bad, right?
Yep.
Like if I preach a good sermon, I'm going to think about the 1 time I messed up in it. You know, it's just my flesh, it's my sinful nature in that, instead of just not thinking about myself. But I think about all the fruit and all the good and all the great that has come from the life of our church in the Connection Network, and like you said, of 5,000 people that we get a chance to minister to through 9 different local churches.
It's wild.
It's just incredible.
It's wild.
And I do in a very sobering way remember all the people that didn't make it.
Yep, that's right. And I think that's the, I love that. And I pray that maintains the posture of heart, because sometimes it can be easy to forget. And, you know, Jesus, he leaves 99 to go get the 1.
Yeah.
And so I love that, man. It's great.
Yeah. And so, not to end on too sour of a note, but I think there's something to, we need to be mindful of structuring our lives around a move of the Spirit, not just riding someone else's move of the Spirit for a period of time, and becoming people where the Holy Spirit desires to make residence and work through, and not just reaping and gleaning the extra grain that's fell from someone else's work and move of the Spirit. And so, I'm grateful for Brandon, for Billy, for you, for so many that I've been able to walk behind for a season and just glean what's kind of falling out of the spiritual overflow of your life. And I want to be the same for others.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point in time, like, I think I had to make a decision of like, I want to be part of the harvest.
Yeah, man.
I want to be picking the harvest.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're all feeling that. And I do, man. I love hearing that. And so appreciate your kind words. And I feel the same way about all the guys in our network of this. We're just trying to be everyday, normal people, like loving God courageously, boldly. We stand on the gospel unapologetically, and we just keep running this play of like, be authentic, preach the gospel, make disciples, and follow God's voice. And, you know, I don't want to get too, I heard a guy say this, I do a leadership class. By the way, I'm getting ready. The book hopefully will be published
before
too long. So
let's go.
Leading by God's Design. So
wow.
I'm taking a group through it on Sunday afternoons, and a guy, Kanan Carr, he'll probably, if you listen to this, Kanan, I love you, you're great. He said something. He said, man, like, may we be expectant for God to move, but may we not have expectations.
Mm.
And I just thought that was such a good word. And for me, you know, we've labored for a long time, a lot of us, of trying to stay faithful to the gospel and grow the kingdom. But man, I'm really praying and expectant.
Yeah.
For a wind and just a move where we just see, oh my gosh, look at what God is doing. And people are turning to God.
Expecting is such a good word. Like a watchman, like a watchman on the wall looking for, just expectant that the groom is going to come riding in.
Yep.
I think for some of our folks, that results in like a watchman for when is the rapture going to occur. but I'm also expectant of what God is, because I'm seeing it. I mean, you know, we're getting, it's at some level, it doesn't even feel like faith anymore. It feels like it's just a fact.
That's
like,
right.
You're just kind of watching it.
Well, man, and that's it, because I'm expectant for what you said, the harvest. And the harvest comes before the return.
Right.
And a great harvest. And just to share, like, and this is all God, but You know, we're baptizing 16 tomorrow.
Let's go.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's nuts. And, like, we had 10 at the start of the week, had the gathering, and they're just boom, boom. Salvation, baptism. And you know, I'm just expectant, and I'm not putting my hands on it. I don't want to. I'm just going to keep believing and praying and hoping and just trying to obey the next right thing he says to do.
I think my my final exhortation to our students, anybody that listens, is take Buck's words from his message. Hopefully we'll post these at some point in time. But he said early on in his walk, he had just a fire truck of zeal and very little wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of my fear for why some people won't make it, is in some shape, form, or fashion. There's lots of different ways that we quench the spirit. And one of those is riding zeal longer than we take time to grow in wisdom and to let that zeal give birth to a level of wisdom and soberness and maturity that will be the type of leadership that lasts.
Amen.
Yeah, and so I don't share that to douse anybody's flame. I love seeing students respond. It's a very responsive generation that come forward, fall on their face, and worship. But I also want them to be students that arise and build.
Yes, amen, amen. And just one quick thing to honor this generation of just keep not worrying. I just feel like a lot of generation is dead to the fear of man.
Yeah.
Like, and that's beautiful, man, and that's beautiful, and I think that's one way we quench as well of, you know, don't worry who's to the right or to the left. Like, I want to be locked in on God, and so, yeah, I think that is one of the pros that this generation brings is some of that, so.
That's good. Let's call it right there, Buck. Thank you. Love you, brother.
Yep. Love you too, dude.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later, podcast. See you.